us through it. Breathe your spirit into this place so that we may hear, know, and understand. Strengthen us for the journey in every way. And Lord, make us aware in a deeper way of your love and your grace for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. We are continuing our Lent theme, The Way of Sorrows, the Via Dolorosa. And so we've reflected on different kinds of tears that have shown up on this road, tears of disappointment, tears of grief. And today we reflect on tears of joy and tears of gratitude. Let's hear these words. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of the Lord. People of God, in our text today, we see Jesus interact with two very different people. We have Simon, a righteous, obedient teacher of God's law, hosting Jesus to dinner in his house. And we have the prostitute, who elbows her way into this same house to pour perfume on Jesus' feet. The sinner in the house of the Pharisee. And when we read the story, we get a clear sense of the recoil that Simon has towards this woman. Why? Because she is hamartolos. She is a sinner. Now, what is behind this label, a sinner? In the secular Greek world, they did not use this word often, but when they did, it implied inferiority and failure. "You are hamartoli. You are not worthy of my attention." For the Jewish people, it implied a much stronger nuance. The sinner was the opposite of the pious, the righteous, the godly. And so here we see this clear contrast. Unlike Simon, this hamartolos, this sinner, does not regard or follow the law of God. She persists in breaking the commandments. She shows no sign of repentance and has even been proud in some ways of her wickedness and folly. Now the title had broader application too. The sinner in the Old Testament also tended to trust in his own wealth and power, perhaps even ignoring God completely. And when a sinner had power, they tend to be social oppressors. They were the ones that dragged the poor into court and abused people, abused the weak. They were greedy and unjust. Those too were hamartoloi. They were sinners. Well, in the New Testament, we see the word used to describe those who live a flagrantly immoral life, like this prostitute, and partly those who follow a dishonorable vocation, one that said they tended to be dishonest. And so tax collectors are another major example of harmatolos, sinners. The person who served as tax collector for the Romans, you know, it's a dishonorable job. They tended to lie and steal from their own people, so they were sinners. Well, it's interesting that for Simon and for some other Pharisees, they began to see even Jesus and his followers as sinners because they didn't follow their interpretation of the law. Now, we see Jesus actually making some of those points with them. He will butt heads on some of the rules that they draw. Even something like washing hands before dinner. The Pharisees said, this is something you have to do in order to be godly, in order to be righteous. And Jesus would just refuse to do that because he says, well, that's not in God's instruction. It's not clearly laid out, so you're making this rule up. So Jesus did run up against them in a number of ways to challenge their authority. So they sometimes called he and his disciples, they thought of them too as sinners. But Simon and the other Pharisees, they saw themselves as the righteous, the godly, those who embraced God's law. And by contrast, this poor woman, this prostitute, she had no such pretense. She knew that she was a sinner who had made a lot of foolish choices, that she had spent her time running from God. And because she knew that, when she's reacting to Jesus, her tears are flowing. She is kneeling at his feet. She is pouring perfume on him. Whereas Simon, very dry-eyed, and he just neglected to show even basic hospitality things to Jesus. We see the difference between how they've responded to him. Well, here is our question. How do you and I see ourselves? Look in the mirror. Do we see ourselves like Simon? Or do we see ourselves like this prostitute? Are we the righteous and the godly, those who have been doing their best to follow God's law and we feel like we've been fairly successful at it? Or do we see ourselves as sinners, like this woman in our text? In his book, Blue Like Jazz, Donald Miller describes an event that he and a few friends put on when they were at university together. It was one of these big celebration days on campus. So you had all sorts of different booths and events going on. And so they decided to open up their own booth, a confession booth. They dressed up like monks and they sat in their tent. And then people would come in to see them one at a time. And their visitors would say, so am I supposed to confess my sins to you now? What's supposed to happen? And they would respond, actually, no. I would like to confess my sins to you. And then they would share some of their struggles being followers of Jesus. Jesus tells me to love my neighbor. Not so good at that. I'm supposed to love my enemies and forgive people who have hurt me. I'm not so good at that either. It was a powerful gesture to their visitors. The seemingly righteous and godly were being humble and acknowledging their sin. But for those doing this too, even for them as the students who were engaging in this exercise, they found it to be even cleansing. And it was something important for them as well. Naming their own sins, they became more aware of God's grace. Well, in our story, we have this young woman, and she is crying. Why is she crying? These are tears of joy and gratitude. In Jesus, she has experienced the grace of God, and that causes tears to flow. Now, why is she crying? Now, Jesus' parable gives us the clearest picture. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus answered. See, this woman was very aware of all that she had done. Her life had gone off the rails, and she knew it. Sure, there was likely some circumstances that made her life more difficult, but she had made choices along the way that had made things much worse. She knew that she was a sinner. She knew that she had embraced things that she knew were wrong, and she knew that she had spent her time running from God. But what caught her, finally, was what she saw in Jesus. In Jesus, she came to understand that her Father God loved her in spite of all that she had done, and that he had come to gather her home. She had sinned much, and now she was being forgiven of that huge debt. That realization drove her restlessly to his side, wandering across town with this jar of perfume, elbowing her way into the house of this Pharisee. And when she found Jesus, she collapsed at his feet and she ministered to him with joy and gratitude, crying her eyes out, pouring perfume on his tears, drying them with her hair. This was as deep a response as she could give, pouring herself out to show how thankful she was for the gift that God had given her. The one who has been forgiven much loves much. What does that say to Simon? He sees himself as righteous and godly. He has done all that he can to make the right choices and to keep God's law. His life did not go off the rails as far as he can tell, and so he has no tears. Receiving the grace of God for him is very different. His debt is smaller, and he's maybe even aware of how much he owes. But look what the woman has that he does not. In receiving the forgiveness of God, she is driven to tears by the power of what God has done for her. She is coming alive with love and joy. And it seems for Simon that, you know, his reaction, his experience of Jesus, his encounter with God's grace is just an intellectual exercise. If Jesus is showing him grace in this, he's not even aware that he needed it. So perhaps that awareness is the key. How do we find joy in the love and the forgiveness of God? It starts by acknowledging that we too are hamartaloi. We are sinners. We have been forgiven a significant debt. And if we look honestly at it, we can see how big it is. Even if we are like Simon, having tried hard to make all the right choices and stay on God's path, there are many things that we have not done right. Jesus tells us to love our neighbors. Sometimes we're not so good at that. We are supposed to love our enemies and forgive those who hurt us. We're not so good at that either. If there is one thing the Bible does make crystal clear, it is that all of us are hamartaloi. We are all sinners, even if we are Simons. We all do things that are selfish and hurtful. We all make foolish mistakes. We get caught up in things that we know are wrong. But here is that mystery. Understanding that we are sinners is the key to living in joy and gratitude. It is only then that we can receive the gifts of God. Only then do we understand the road that our Lord walked for us, carrying our burdens, paying our debts. And only when we see how much we have loaded on to His weary shoulders can we truly thank Him for carrying it for us. Only by acknowledging our sin can we experience the grace and forgiveness of our God. Only then will the tears begin to flow for us as well. It is a simple truth that those who have fallen hardest are the most appreciative of grace. That's what Jesus says here. But if we are honest with ourselves, when we look at who we really are, we can see that we have all fallen hard in one way or another. Some of us fall more dramatically than others, more visibly, but we all fall. And so we can all know the joy of being picked up afterward by the gentle hands of our Savior. This morning, we, the church, find ourselves gathered there in the house of that Pharisee. And whether we are Simon or the prostitute, we know that the right place to be is kneeling at the feet of Jesus, being honest with ourselves about how we have fallen. And perhaps as we kneel there, our tears too will flow, not out of remorse, but out of joy, crying thank you for a debt paid and a burden lifted. And as we kneel there, we too hear His simple words of grace that show us the heart and love of our God. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen. Let's stand together now. We're going to sing one of the great hymns of Lent. We're seeing, as we come alongside Jesus on this way of sorrows, we see the burden that He carries on our behalf. So let's sing, Ah, Holy Jesus. We see the burdens He carries and the pain and the struggle, and we recognize our part in putting that on His shoulders. And we say thank you for it. Let's stand and sing together. Earlier in our service of we talked about reconciliation, about making relationships right. And if you have, perhaps some of us were able to go this past week to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And there is the nation reflects on what it means to make things right, to heal the wounds of the past between us and the First Nations communities. And I know going into, I was able to attend one of those listening circles, and you hear some of the pain that has been caused, some of the hurt. And certainly the work of reconciliation, even though we begin by saying sorry and acknowledging what's happened, that the way forward is difficult, and that we need God to help us heal, to help us find right relationship with each other. So we're going to remember that in prayer this morning. Let's bow our heads together. Father God, we come to you. Lord, when we come alongside you in the way of sorrows and we see the burden and the pain you have carried, we see our sin, we see the struggle, and this road to the cross, Lord, we recognize how difficult it is. And Lord, we know that you shed tears, that you fell on the road carrying our burden. And Lord, as we seek to understand it, we know that we can best understand it when we see our part in it. There are things, Lord, that we have done, mistakes made, foolish decisions. Lord, we have withheld grace from each other sometimes. We have turned a blind eye to your call on us. We have allowed injustice to go in our communities, in our cities, in our nation. Lord, we come to you with these burdens, and we acknowledge them, because we know that you are a God who has come to heal us, to forgive us, to show us grace. And so, Lord, we lay these things at your feet, and we ask for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, as our nation comes together this week to talk about reconciliation, as it has been on this journey together, Lord, we have listened. We have seen where we have fallen, mistakes made, hurts and pain caused. And Lord, we have tried to say that we are sorry. But Lord, we know that healing these relationships is far more difficult than any of us know or understand. And so, Lord, we ask for you to be present in our midst. We need you to be our healer. We need you to be our Savior. We need you to rekindle in us the love for those that we have hurt. We need you to help us show grace. And, Lord, to humble ourselves and recognize our part. So, Lord, be in our midst as a country, as a church, as a city, in all our relationships with our neighbors, that you may help us to heal properly, that you will make things right, and that in some way, some small way, Lord, we may see your kingdom come to life in our midst. As we journey together, Lord, we remember a number of our, those of us who are going through difficulty of one kind or another. We pray for some of our shut-ins. We pray for Anna Abma and Harsma, Ken and Margaret Hanna, Corey Horseman Sr. and Alice Oltheus. Lord, we pray for George Visser, and Lord, we thank you for your grace by his side as he continues to get stronger. Thank you that he's able to be here with us this morning. We pray for James Fuchs this week as plans are in place to have a move, and we know this is a big thing for him, and we are glad we can help him as a community do this. But Lord, strengthen him for it. We pray for our some of our youth and leaders that are away on mission trips this week, and as they continue to work in them, teach them, Lord, how to serve, to humble themselves in loving others in all walks of life, strengthen them for the journey, and bring them safely home to us. Lord, we thank you that Wayne and Linda can be here with us this morning too, to share a little of the journey that you have them on and the work you are doing across the world in China. Continue to minister to us as a church too, as we grapple with difficult questions, and as we find our way forward too, help us to cling to you, to your mercy, to your grace, to your promises, as we know that you are a God who does come to heal and to save, to redeem us, to walk with us on the way of sorrows, to on a path that leads to new life and rebirth. Help us, Lord, to trust you on this road together. Give us grace with each other as we journey. All these things we pray in the loving name of Jesus. Amen. This time we will have our offering, and our gifts today go to support the work of Wayne and Linda in CRC World Missions. And so, and I'd like to, we're going to have a video that from Wayne and Linda, and then Wayne is going to come share a few words with us. But let's give as God has given to us.